You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show with Kristen and Liza. Today we have guests Colleen and Anne in from Lily's Fund. And thank you for sticking around for the final segment because we realized that we did not get to the community connection part with you, which is probably one of the most important parts. So can you tell us a little bit how Lily's group supports caregivers and where they can find you again?
So we do have a support group for parents or guardians of children or young adults or any kid who has epilepsy. It's called Lily's Friends, and we meet in two different ways. We meet on Facebook, and we can pose questions and support each other that way. So you can search for us on Facebook by just Googling or Facebook searching Lily's Friends. Then we also meet once a month here in Madison. Because of the pandemic, like everyone else, we've gone to Zoom, but you can get, you know, you can join in our group that way as well. So best way to do it is just to go onto our website and look for Lily's Friends. You can send me an email and I'll include you in the support group invitation every week. Our email is liliesfund@gmail.com.
Thank you for sticking around and sharing that. I think that is really important and helpful information for family caregivers that are feeling lost and can use that extra support. So,
And I need it right now because I was just asking about a specific type of epilepsy. So yeah. Thanks so much, you guys.
Yes.
You're a wealth of wisdom.
Thank you for all you do.
So, Kristen.
We'll see you next time.
Awesome.
Sorry. So, Kristen, what really stood out for you today?
There was a lot, because what was so interesting was that both of them shared in different ways aspects of their journey that were very similar to mine. So when Colleen was talking about having that early diagnosis of, okay, your kid has seizures or your kid has epilepsy, but not really even understanding what that meant. And thinking, like, I thought Nicole was going to outgrow it. And then I also was chasing for years the right magic potion, the right combination of drugs. And I just couldn't really see what was happening in front of me, which was that my daughter was developing slower and was getting more of an intellectual disability presence, right? She was presenting that way. And I just couldn't see it. And teachers were trying to say it to me. My husband was trying to say it to me. And I was just like, no. I know what an intellectual disability looks like. I know what autism looks like. This is not that stuff. This is seizures. This is epilepsy. And as soon as we get the right medicine, it'll all be fine. And it wasn't. And it wasn't an issue of that. It was that the brain is a very complex thing. We don't know if the autism caused the seizures caused the autism, the intellectual disability, you know, it's this triad of which came first. And it took being in a neuropsych's office and her recognizing that I wasn't seeing this, and she had to say it gently. And then finally she had to use the R word. And it was like, oh, wow. And I teach psychology, and this is where I teach about denial. I'm like, I just all of a sudden this like cloud of just cluelessness disappeared. And I was like, oh, okay, I can do that. But I had not a clue for the 3 years prior to that, that that's what was going on. And so when Colleen was talking about, it's nice, it would be nice, and I hope for our caregivers listening, that you don't have to catastrophize, but if you can reach to your medical team, if you can reach to your educational team and say, I need to know what the trajectory is going to be. I need to know what I'm looking at 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, 15. And, you know, they'll say, oh, well, we can't predict that, right? You can't predict that. But you've had enough experience and exposure. You can tell me likelihoods. You can tell me probability. And as soon as I started talking like that, nurses and doctors sat with me for hours at Children's Hospital in Wisconsin and basically educated me about what Nicole's future was going to be and what my future was going to be. And so that really just struck me that Colleen had that, you know, similar experience of not getting that when the diagnosis of epilepsy came, what that actually meant.
Yeah. It's amazing that so many people kind of suffer in that, you know, silence, I guess you can call it denial, but just not knowing, you know, just... Right. I just wish everyone could have somebody where they sit down with them and explain the diagnosis, and this is what it means, and this is what it looks like, and just not say, here's your diagnosis, have a nice day. So that was a good takeaway. I think for me, I learned a lot because I didn't have a lot of knowledge around epilepsy, and I still need to do a little more homework in that regard, but it was very educational for me. And I was just amazed by what these two women have done.
Yeah.
And what can be done. And then I saw our similarities, and I'm like, yeah, that's our path. We're going to be those guys.
Right, exactly. We may not make a luau, right? No. But we're going to hopefully do a whole bunch of retreats and workshops and educational programming on our website and through our radio show, just to really help caregivers have this experience, because, you know, we're maybe a couple of years behind them, but I think what we all have is that wisdom of hindsight, right? One of them referenced having the rear view mirror, and that gives you this wisdom that now would be valuable to share with people so that they don't have to feel as isolated as we did, or they don't have to be intimidated. You know, I talk a lot with people about, and we didn't quite get into it today, but about don't let the medicalese intimidate you. Don't let the educationese intimidate you. Don't let the legalese intimidate you. It's okay. It's actually a sign of intelligence to say, I don't understand this. I didn't go to school to learn this language. It's not that I don't understand how a brain works. It's not that I don't understand behavior. I don't understand what you're saying to me when you use that acronym or when you use that term. And so I just think that they did a really nice job of talking about it being grassroots and talking about connecting with each other and connecting with other people. And I'm inspired by that. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, definitely. And I love what you said about the, you know, the kind of the advocacy piece and feeling comfortable sticking up for yourself, because I have always been one that's worried, like, oh, I don't want to appear dumb or not knowing what I'm talking about, or, you know, they'll say this and I'll go home and try to research it and figure it out. And it's like, no, you know, you have to be able to explain this to me in a way that it makes sense.
Exactly.
And you got to have
that's
the courage.
Supposed to be part of their training, right? Yeah. We can't excuse, oh, well, they don't have good bedside manner. Well, they don't have to be your friend,
right?
They don't have to, you guys don't have to click on like, let's go out for a beer or let's, you know, sit down and watch a movie together, but they do have to be able to educate you. They do have to be able to make sure that you and the person you're caring for understand what's going on in their bodies, you know, and how different drugs relate in terms of epilepsy. It's very based on, a lot of it is centered around medication. Mm-hmm. And they were laughing before we started the show about how in some ways we all feel like we have a degree in neurology, a degree psychology. And then one of the moms said, and pharmacology. I'm like, oh yeah, I feel like I know so much more about medicine than some of the nurses I deal with, because we've had to trial so much with Nicole. So,
yeah. And you probably
I think it's great.
Yes. That was so wonderful that they were here. I'm glad that I had that experience to learn from them. It's in that
the
kind
last
of-
thing I wanted to highlight for our caregivers is I think it was also really important how they mentioned that you don't have to feel guilty if you're going to stop doing a certain thing. Like, I loved their story about the luau, that they were like, we did 10 years and then we realized our life couldn't sustain it anymore. And it's okay. Right. So that's what we want to send as a message as we work as a community here, to empower all of you in recognizing that you do what you can do and it's okay if that's all you can do.
Right. And it's okay if it was something that you could do and you no longer can do. That is okay.
Exactly. Which is why we want to make sure that those of you are paying attention to what we've been doing. So on the website, the Empowered Caregiver Community, and on the Devil Radio website, you can find some of our past shows. We've had Stephanie Prim on from Love Inc., Danita and Dawn from A Grace, and now we've had Colleen and Anne from Lily's Fund. Next week, we'll be looking at Jennifer Fisher's experience with the ADRC.
Thank you. And as Lester Holt says, take care of yourself and each other.